This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League, presented by United Dairy Farmers.
The Reds are on the radio!
The Hot Stove League is brought to you by JTM Food Group. Let's create great dishes together. JTM, PNC Bank, the official bank of the Cincinnati Reds. PNC, make today the day. Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, where there's help, there's hope. And by Wings and Rings, 16 area locations and proud sponsor of the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by Kelsey Chevrolet, Route 50 and 275 Lawrenceburg, Greater Cincinnati's full service dealer. From their family to yours. Ralph's American Grill in Wilmington, Ohio. Visit ralphsgrill.com. And by United Dairy Farmers.
The Reds are on the radio.
Now the Reds Hot Stove League on the Reds Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome in to the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF. And we are live at the BetMGM Sportsbook Inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. And along with the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley, I'm Tommy Thrall. We've got a great show for you. Cowboy, boy, does it feel good to be back in Cincinnati and out of the desert and time to watch some games that actually count.
There is nothing like opening day in this town.
You got that right. And already, I mean, we're down here at the Banks. They're already setting up for it. The streets are already starting to get closed down all ahead of tomorrow's festivities. Of course, first pitch tomorrow, 4:10. A lot to get to. Of course, we're going to be talking about opening day tomorrow. There's a lot of news to get to today. And part of the news will be discussed with Reds general manager Brad Metter, who will be joining us very shortly as well. But the big news of the day, unfortunately, on the eve of opening day, the last thing you want is big injury news, but there was some news today. Matt McClain did, in fact, have surgery yesterday to address cartilage damage and repair his labrum in his left, albeit non-throwing, shoulder. There's still no timetable yet for his return. Nick Kroll said there's still a range of possibilities as far as the rehab, the timetable, and all of that. They still have hope that Matt McClain will be back by the end of the season, but still a lot of uncertainty. The surgery was done by Dr. Neil Eletrosh out in L.A. after getting a second opinion. That was on Monday. Cowboy, this is obviously a devastating blow. I think the hope was that it would be a little more minor. Sounds like it was maybe a little bigger surgery than what was initially hoped for, at least.
Well, I don't think you ever know until you're inside the shoulder what kind of damage that you're going to have. And I think that's part of the issue with the shoulder. It's not as particular as with an elbow where you can just go in, fix it, and get back out. You've got to go through good tissue to get to the bad, and especially when it's a labrum issue. Hopefully for Matt and for the Reds, he'll be able to rehab this thing, get that strength back in his shoulder, and get back out onto the field quickly.
Reds also made some roster moves today. The final roster spot was set just moments ago. In fact, the Reds made the final moves. A lot of it was just housekeeping with injuries that we already knew about. TJ Friedl starting on the injured list. It'll be a 10-day injured list for him. Ian Jabeau, Nick Lodolo, Sam Maul, Brandon Williamson, and Alex Young also all starting on the ILs. Of course, Matt McClain. But the big news out of the transactions today, the question was going to be, who was going to be the 26th man on the roster? It sounded like it was between Jacob Hurtubise and probably Bubba Thompson. Turns out Bubba Thompson got the spot. He's on the roster.
Yeah, I thought that Bubba Thompson swung the bat well in the early part of spring training. Now, he was also sent down early, so we didn't get to see him as much. But I think ultimately it comes down to a right-handed hitter that can play center field. And in this instance, Bubba Thompson outplayed the rest of the guys out there. We saw Stuart Fairchild, who hit the ball awfully well, and I think a lot of that playing time is going to kind of fall on Fairchild's shoulders. But you have to have at least some semblance of a backup plan if in case something happens to Fairchild.
Right, no question. And the thing about it, too, Bubba Thompson has a little big league experience under his belt. I still don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that at some point we will see Jacob Hurtubise on the big league roster during the course of the season. A few things still for him to work on. We saw during spring training he has tremendous athleticism. He can certainly get the bat on the ball. Probably needs to work on his defense a little bit in the outfield, it seems like.
Yeah, I think anytime you come to spring training and it's your first go-round, there's some nerves that are involved with it. And as soon as the ball comes off the bat, you have a tendency to break maybe in a direction that the ball's not at. And we saw a little bit of that early in spring camp. I thought that he handled himself well as camp went on. I still think it goes back to right-handed hitter, left-handed hitter, or a guy that is maybe a little more polished right now at the big league level, and that would be Bubba Thompson.
So Bubba Thompson makes the opening day roster. He's the 26th player. Play Split the Pot on opening day for your chance to take home half the pot. The current jackpot is over $60,000. All proceeds benefit the Reds Community Fund. Visit Reds5050.com. Must be 18 or older and in the state of Ohio to play. Talking with the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley, we got a chance to see a lot of things during spring training. You always try not to make too much of what happens in the spring. But at the same time, sometimes some of what you see is progress that maybe a player made. Maybe they made some adjustments in the offseason. You start to see that come to fruition. So I want to get your take on this, because there were a lot of guys that had really good spring trainings. And I want to ask you, of those spring trainings, which guy do you think is the most likely to have their success translate into regular season success? So let's run through these guys real quick. One, Christian Encarnacion Strand, hit over 330, belted 5 homers, drove in 14. Great spring. Luke Maley hit 375 with 4 home runs and drove in 11. Jonathan India, albeit a small sample, but still hit just below 400 with a couple of homers, scored 6 times. Spencer Steer hit 340. He belted 4 home runs and drove in a dozen. And Stuart Fairchild, this is a guy that really did a lot in the offseason to tweak his swing. He hit 333. A lot of his home runs came early at 5 of them, a bunch of doubles as well, and drove in 8. So of that group right there, who do you think is the most likely to translate their Cactus League success into Major League regular season success?
I would say probably 3 of those guys, I feel pretty confident that they're going to do relatively the same type of effort that we saw in spring training. Number 1, Jonathan India. Do not ever discount a guy that has the red ass. And I mean, that's kind of where India's at. I mean, you take his spot away from him and you put him in left, or you put him at the designated hitter spot, or put him at first base. I think India's out to prove somebody wrong. And I think that's going to show up, especially early in the season. Spencer Steer got to his swing as fast as anybody in camp. His normal swing, not just that he could hit a fastball, but being able to time pitches, hit the breaking ball, hit the fastball. Both of those guys, we saw how well they've played in a Reds uniform already. The guy that going forward, I'm excited to see, especially as the challenge presents itself from day one, and that's Christian Encarnacion Strand. I've been high on him since we got him to the big leagues, and it doesn't take a genius to look at the back of any stats that are put out from the time that he was in college through the minor leagues to the time now. He's hit everywhere he's ever been. No matter what position he was at, he hit. And he didn't just get doubles and singles. He hit the ball out of the ballpark. There are some guys that are just born to hit, and I have a feeling he's one of them.
I loved the conversation I had with him this spring, because I said, well, what do you need to do to get ready? He goes, all I need to do is make sure my timing's down. Then I don't care who's on the mound, I'm going to hit. And he knows that, so he's not short on confidence, but he's also got the track record to back that up. Stuart Fairchild, let's talk about him, because we're going to see a lot of him. And there was some question whether or not he would even be on this team coming into spring training just because of the roster needs. Well, now the Reds have a dying need for a center fielder. Stuart Fairchild seems to be that guy. What does he need to do in order to have the success translate to the regular season?
I think at some point in time in every player's career, whether it's in college, high school, whether it's coming through the minor leagues, you may show up to the big leagues and this hits you. But you have to believe that you can get the job done. You don't wait for somebody to tell you, hey, maybe change this and it'll work better for you. You have to believe it inside your heart that you're better than the other guy that they're going to put out there. And that's where Stuart Fairchild is. He's at that crossroad. He has an opportunity to present himself in a whole different manner than every other team has seen him, whether he's been released by the Reds, whether he was cut loose by the Diamondbacks, whatever that may be. he has an opportunity to show all of his tools. And he's got the tools to be able to play up here. It's just a matter of putting them together when the game's on the line.
It'll be interesting to see. We'll certainly have an eye on that. We are live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. It's the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF. We continue next with Reds General Manager Brad Metter on the Reds Radio Network. Welcome back into the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF. And we are live at BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. Don't miss all of the excitement and drama of the home run in the Reds Hall of Fame's 2024 feature exhibit. The long ball presented by Dinsmore. Celebrate the great home run hitters and most unforgettable home runs throughout Reds history. Visit redsmuseum.org for details. We're visiting with Brad Metter now, the Reds general manager. And Brad, I'm sure spring training was a little bit more adventurous than you would have liked it to have been. You kind of came in, had a couple of roster spots to fill out, and then that was about it. And then, of course, baseball had different plans with some injuries. So overall, how do you feel like you guys kind of got through spring training?
Yeah, we certainly ended up having to work through a lot more than we planned on. But like we talked about before we got there, part of our offseason, a big part of our offseason was to build depth so that we could survive some setbacks. We had more than we certainly thought we would or would like to. But, you know, I think what we did in the offseason will help us get started here.
Were you able to get a pretty good feel for the pieces that you added? Nick Martinez, Frankie Montas obviously will be starting opening day tomorrow. Jamer Candelario, slow start, but boy, once he got rolling, seemed to swing the bat pretty well. Are you pretty confident about those additions being guys that can make an impact here, especially at the start to help you weather some of these injuries?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're going to have to be, and we feel really good about not only what they've done on the field, but even maybe more importantly, how they fit in with our team as a group. They all have experience. Obviously, Montas and Martinez are both going to be in the rotation, and we're looking forward to it.
We brought up the name Jonathan India earlier. I guess now India will be your primary second baseman, and we did get Santiago Espinal. I know that he can play pretty much any spot. Is Espinal going to play some second base, or is that kind of just – we just kind of leave that out there for the time being?
No, he will. He can play all over the infield. He can play shortstop, which was a big part of why we acquired him, certainly after losing Matt.
I mean, he was an all-star a couple of years ago.
Exactly. And he swung the bat well since we've had him. I know it's a small sample size, but even today watching him, I mentioned to Nick, I said his bat is going to fit well here. It's a short, it's a simple swing, puts the ball in play, moves the ball around, and he can play all over the infield. So we're excited to have him. I think, again, he fits into what we're doing here.
How much can switching leagues like that almost help a guy in a way, because the pitchers might not be quite as familiar?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I hadn't thought about it, but certainly him being new to the league could help. I hope it helps him. I hope it does.
What about Jonathan India? I mean, Cowboy brought it up. This is a guy that looked really good in camp. Seemed to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. That's almost a healthy thing, I feel like, for him and his game.
I think that's right. I thought he looked better in the outfield than I thought people thought he might.
I agree.
He moved around well out there. He was open to it. He played first base. I thought he did a nice job there. I'm sure he's happy to be back at second base, but a lot of credit to him. He was willing to do whatever. He's a huge part of this team and what we're doing. So, he is, like you said, he's going to settle back in at second base for now, and we'll see how it goes.
With that, do you still want him to play some of those other two spots just to kind of keep his skills that he's been working on to hone in there kind of, I guess, sharp or fresh?
Yeah, I think he could. I wouldn't think he would play a lot outside of second base to start off here. But, you know, as we get closer to if Matt is able to come back later in the season, then maybe that's something you look at more then.
Are you pretty happy with where we are bullpen-wise with the additions that you made during the offseason? Because – you know as well as I do, this early part of the season, that bullpen's going to be asked to do a lot.
They are, and I feel good about where we're at. We also have a couple of guys who are slow to get going here. Sam Maul and Jabot are both going to start on the IL, but they're not far off. You guys saw Maul through today, and he looks like he's getting closer. So we'll also have some help there, before too long.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With regards to the bullpen, there are a couple of guys that I thought stood out in spring training. Maybe most notably was Tony Santion. And now he's not going to start the season in the bullpen, but how do you manage an arm like that you know, you don't have any options, he's on a minor league deal, but at the same time is a guy that could conceivably help this team out at some point out of the bullpen?
Tony threw the ball great in spring training, as well as you could hope for. And when we talked to him at the end, we told him, like, there's nothing else you could have done to make this team. The big thing at the end of spring training was we needed to see him go back-to-back, which he did the last 2 days of spring training, and then continue to build on that with his progressions, you know, to show that he's healthy and to build on that in Louisville. He will certainly be a part of this at some point, maybe before too long.
I asked earlier about the bullpen, and I know that Nick Martinez, by design, was obviously a great sign because he can do a lot of different things. He can start, he can pitch out of the bullpen, he could close if you had to have him in that spot. Wouldn't your bullpen be better in long-term scenario if you had Nick Lodolo back? And on top of that, how is Nick doing?
Nick Lodolo?
Yes.
He's doing good. He had a long delay. He stayed in Arizona to throw yesterday in Arizona so he could continue to build on his progression. He had a long delay in Arizona, in Phoenix last night. I think he told me it was 8 hours. So it turned into a red eye, so he didn't get in until like 6 o'clock this morning. But he feels good other than just being tired. He is, you know, his progressions are going well. He continues to build, and so far so good. And it would be huge to have him back, for sure.
Amen.
Do you kind of look ahead at the pieces? I mean, the rotation. Nick Martinez was one of the guys that threw as well as anybody in the rotation to start in camp. So if that continues at the start of the season when Lodolo comes back, have you kind of played out some different scenarios of how that might all come together?
Yeah, I mean, trust me, we play them all out all the time. To the point of you sit there and you play him out, and then you go like, why are we doing this? Because you know it's going to change. And every time you think you have it figured out, something else changes. So the fact that he's thrown as well as he has, having him in our rotation right now is a great thing, and we'll just see what happens moving forward.
Talking about McClain, you touched on him a little bit ago. To rewind to that, is there anything new to report with him other than what we heard today? Any idea what the next steps are for him?
Not really anything more than what we put out. He had surgery. It was some labrum and cartilage repair. He's going back to Arizona. They'll start moving him. We were just talking about they'll start moving the shoulder right away and making sure that he's working on range of motion. But it is a slow rehab and a slow build back, so we'll see how it's going. It's not going to be soon, but hopefully we'll get him back this season.
You have to feel good, and you talked about this earlier, about the additions in the offseason, and even when people were questioning, why the heck did we sign Jamer Candelario? Well, you got to feel good about your foresight in doing that at this point, because normally right now it's pitchers that are the ones that are either getting hurt or not being able to answer the bell on opening day. And with the fact that you had some great depth in that spot, it actually helps you.
It does. I mean, certainly you hope you don't get to this point, but like we talked about, and going back to the caravan, we talked about why we were doing what we were doing, and it was to have depth to be able to survive some of this stuff. And unfortunately, we're having to do it right off the bat, but I'm certainly glad we have all those guys.
As far as TJ Friedl's concerned, everything's still progressing well with him, hoping to have him back in relatively short order, and what might that look like?
Yeah, he's doing great. He saw the doctors when we got back to Cincinnati and got an x-ray. Everything looks to be healing properly, and you guys know he's anxious to get going and always pushing the envelope. So I anticipate he'll be ready.
How much do you have to almost guard him against himself?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah.
I would imagine. We're visiting with Brad Metter, Reds general manager. We've got more to ask Brad about as we work our way toward opening day tomorrow, 4:10 first pitch right across the street. You're listening to the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF, live from the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks on the Reds Radio Network. Back into the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF. We are live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar down here at the Banks on the eve of opening day with the Cowboy Jeff Brantley. I'm Tommy Thrall, and we are chatting with Reds general manager Brad Metter. Brad, obviously a lot of excitement with this season, and you know, I don't think the injuries have done much to deter the excitement. You talked about the depth and adding the depth. So how much is it, or how much different is it coming into opening day here in 2024 as opposed to where you were at last year in opening day 2023? And I gotta imagine it's a little more fun, but maybe there's a little more pressure there too in a way.
It's a lot more fun. The pressure is, that's why we do this, so that these guys are looking forward to it. You know, we have a young team. I believe that the city and our fans fell in love with the team more about how they played than they did winning and losing games. Winning games was a result of that, and that's fun. But watching these guys play and how they play is really what is most exciting about getting this team back on the field and getting started.
And with the guys that are filling the voids of the injured players that we've talked about, that style of baseball doesn't really change any, does it?
No, and that's by design. I mean, we've tried to build this team that way. Athleticism, you know, play fast, play hard. They play with a ton of energy. And the guys that we've added with them do the same thing.
When you talk about the energy of these young guys, I think that's the most contagious part of this game. Whether you're a player in the dugout, a coach of those players, or whether you're a fan buying a ticket, do you worry that energy causes some of these injuries that we've seen?
I'm sure it probably does. The way they play, you just can't worry about that. That's who we are. That's how these guys are going to play. And sometimes by playing that way, maybe you do have more injuries, but we're certainly not going to stop playing that way.
Just playing the game the right way.
Just playing it the right way.
And, you know, I think Cowboy and I have talked about this time and time again, because even sometimes trying to change who you are as a player to avoid injury can almost make you susceptible to injury because you're playing unlike what you're used to in a way.
No, you can't do that. Colin Cowgill and I were talking about that when TJ got hurt. You know, it's unfortunate. It happens in a spring game. He's diving for a ball. Does he need to dive? Does he not? That's TJ. That's how he plays. That's who he is. That's why we love him. You can't ask him to do anything different.
He doesn't have the ability to turn it off either.
No, and you don't want him to.
No, I think that goes for most of these guys on this team.
Yeah.
So, Brad, do you anticipate that we'll see the same amount of attempts at running the bases, stealing bases, taking that extra base that we saw last year? Because I know for me and a lot of folks that are here tonight, I mean, that base running is – that's as exciting as it gets. I mean, we just look like we come to play every single night.
Yes.
That's good.
I promise you that won't
good answer.
Well, we'll talk about – because David's talked about this. You guys have talked about it. You want to be better at base running. I mean, you were one of the best teams in baseball at it already last year, so how do you get better? How do you improve on that?
Yeah, and they worked on it. You guys know this. I mean, the amount of time that Colin spent on the field and individually with each player inside in a classroom setting talking about how to get better at it, we're continuing. He's continuing. Our staff is continuing to work on that with the players. So we do look to – improve on that.
So when we talked about the rotation earlier. Now, sooner or later, Nick Lodolo is coming back. And are we going to have to monitor his innings, or are we going to put him in a position to where when he starts on day one, we don't really have to worry about it so much?
No, I don't think we'll have to worry about it. He's built up, I think he told me he threw 55 pitches in five innings or four innings yesterday.
That's good.
But he said he got enough outs to get through seven. So it's, oh, wow. That's perfect.
That's even better.
If you
so he was pitching good, I take it.
Pitching good. So if you can throw 70 pitches and get through eight, then we're good.
Amen.
Well, let's talk about that rotation a little bit, because you've got some young guys that started to see some growth. I thought Hunter finished the season pretty well last year. Graham Ashcraft, boy, he had that little stretch there where he didn't pitch well, had the injury, came back and didn't look like anybody was going to touch him. Andrew Abbott, kind of the opposite. Once he got to the big leagues, was untouchable, ran out of gas at the end. So how are these guys progressing? Are you seeing the growth you want to see from these guys?
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of having a young rotation and having a young team. You're going to see some ups and downs. Some of these guys, Hunter's a good example. He's a young guy who didn't have a lot of time in the minor leagues, especially with the COVID year. So there is some learning here that's happening in the big leagues, which is a tough thing to do.
How do you balance that learning with, you're in a position where you got to win now, you know? I mean, and that goes kind of for all those young pitchers.
Yeah, no question. We are, that's what we're doing. We're trying to win. The biggest thing I can say is I think our coaching staff is built for the balance of continuing to grow these players at the major league level. So our player development, our development doesn't stop when they get to the major leagues. It can't, because that's how we have to build a team.
Yeah, and I think that's where your depth kind of becomes an asset, because not every young player is going to get off to the greatest of starts. There are going to be some that have a phenomenal start to the year, but there are going to be guys that have a rough start, and there's going to have to be times where David's going to have to take them out of the lineup just to let them sit down and cool down. But you have enough depth to be able to allow that to happen.
Yeah, we do, and you don't start the year with 26 players and finish the year with the same 26 players.
Not these days.
No, right? So a lot of our depth, some of our depth isn't here right now. Some of them are going to be in Louisville to start. And so it takes more than just the guys that we broke camp with. We had a major league camp, and a lot of those players that were in major league camp are going to help us win games this year, and not all of them are here yet.
Before we let you go, we talk so much about this pitching staff, and that's probably where it starts and ends with this team. But there are some young players in the lineup that can do some serious damage. We talked about Christian Encarnacion and his spring that he had. Everybody obviously wants to talk about Ellie. Have you seen some serious progress from him? And what do you want to see from him this year to take that next step forward?
From Ellie?
Yes.
I think Ellie just continues to improve. His quality of at-bats continues to improve. The ability to control the strike zone. We talked about that last year before we brought him up, was that was the big thing he needed to be able to do. He came here. There were some ups and downs. There was a little bit of learning to go with that. We continue to see it improve, and I think that'll be a big part of his success.
Brad, certainly appreciate the time. I know
Thank you
are a busy guy, so thanks for stopping by. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
That is Reds general manager Brad Metter, kind enough to stop by on the eve of opening day to chat a little Reds baseball with us. We've still got more to talk about. The Cowboy and I'll talk about this roster when we come back. It's the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League, presented by UDF, live from the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks on the Reds Radio Network. Still a lot to cram into about 15 minutes on the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League, presented by UDF. We're live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar here at the Banks. We've got a pretty good crowd that's assembled here to watch and listen to the show. Thanks so much for being out here to all the folks that are here. You can catch the first weekend of Reds baseball March 30th and 31st as the boys are back in town taking on the Nationals. Enjoy kids' opening day, great giveaways, and so much more. Get your tickets now, reds.com/tickets. By the way, speaking of tickets, get this, Cowboy. The Reds tickets on the secondary market are the second most expensive opening day ticket out there right now.
It's opening day.
It's opening day. And it's opening day in Cincinnati. That's right. This town gets it right when it comes to opening day. It's time to talk about who's going to be on the field on opening day. Let's go through this roster a little bit. Let's start with the infield. Kind of want to talk about what makes these groups strong. You've obviously got CES that will probably be at first base. He'll play some third. Jamer Candelario fits in there somewhere. I would imagine now, Cowboy, he'll probably be the regular third baseman on this team.
Yeah, I think so. I think you've pretty much got an infield that is going to be your regular infield, with Encarnacion Strand at first, India at second, De La Cruz at shortstop, and Candelario at third. I think with the addition of Matt McClain, that gave you some great flexibility to move some guys around, but you're not going to have him now. So you're kind of in a spot where those guys are going to have to play the market pretty much every day.
And that's where I think the outfield kind of comes into play a little bit, because Spencer Steer is a guy that's going to – originally he was going to be one of the guys that could spell guys on the infield. Now you pretty much need him in left field every day, along with Stuart Fairchild, Will Benson, Jake Fraley. Bubba Thompson will fit in there as one of your guys on the bench. But you've still got four guys in the outfield that you need to be able to rotate through. Two of them are very much left-handed hitters.
Right. I think, as we saw last year, we'll see Will Benson and Jake Fraley play the majority of their time against a right-handed pitcher. And to be honest, that means they're going to play the majority of the time, because most pitchers are right-handed. If you're facing a left-hander and a tough left-hander, you're going to see Stuart Fairchild. You're going to see Bubba Thompson. You'll see I think Spencer Steer is going to be in left field pretty much every day.
Yeah.
But I also believe that Steer will play some first base. He might play some third. And depending on how you want to rotate those days off for those guys, depending on the tough pitchers that are on the mound.
And we saw him a little bit at second base. I still think, I'm curious if you feel the same way. I still think it's going to be important that Jonathan India gets some days off.
Well,
with the heel issue and the plantar fasciitis.
I think that's part of the reason that you trade for Santiago Espinal. And the fact that he is a tremendous fielder by trade. I mean, that's where he's made his mark and got him to the big leagues. He's also hit well enough to make an all-star team, so that should tell you a little bit about what kind of player that he is. The key to all of that, and Brad was talking about that when he was here, was that Espinal came up as a shortstop. So he can play short, he can play second base, and play it fluidly. So that gives you some built-in off days for Jonathan India. It also gives you some off days for Jamer Candelario, if in fact you decide to move just for a day, you put De La Cruz off of shortstop, or you give De La Cruz a day off.
Right.
I mean, just because these guys are young doesn't mean they're Superman.
Right. Well, and I think we saw that last year. I mean, even though they're young, they're energetic, they still got to figure out a way to balance the long season. David Bell talked about it with Ellie. There's not just the on-field fatigue that you experience. That guy had a million things going on off the field, too, getting pulled in a bunch of different directions. You have to learn how to manage that, too. So I think all that's going to factor into the playing time a little bit as he tries to figure out how to stay healthy. Not necessarily healthy, but how to keep the energy up for 162.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any point in time, if you're the manager, that you want to take Ellie De La Cruz out of the lineup.
No question.
But it gives you an opportunity to take him out without having a defensive lapse on the opposite side. And I think that's always a credit for David, being able to mix and match the perfect weapons.
Especially with some of the pitchers you have, because Graham Ashcraft, I get it. He throws 98 to 100. He's still a ground ball pitcher.
Yeah, the ball's on the ground all the time.
You want a good defense out there when he's on the mound. Let's talk about the rotation real quick, because right now, as it sits, we obviously know Frankie Montas is going tomorrow, and then Hunter Green, Nick Martinez, and then Andrew Abbott and Graham Ashcraft. This, to me, on paper, feels like a pretty strong rotation.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with it. Like I think you've got five guys that are going to attack the strike zone, and I think that's a necessity for this staff coming out of the gate. I think they've got to be able to attack the strike zone, especially playing in the ballparks that we're playing early in the season. You play here and then you play in Philadelphia. If you're not in the strike zone, if you're walking guys, you're going to be in trouble in a hurry.
Let's talk about the bullpen. We always talk, and you bring this up all the time. It starts at the back. You got to figure out how you're going to finish the game and work your way back from there. Alexis Diaz did not have the best spring training. Didn't look good in spring training, to be frank. Are you concerned by that, or is that not uncommon for a closer to have some difficulty in the spring?
I think ultimately when you're the closer, you are an adrenaline junkie. And that's what you're at. That's the feeling you're searching for every time they hand you the ball. There is no adrenaline in spring training. unless you're trying to make the team. That's just the way that it is. When you come out in the ninth inning tomorrow with this packed house, I guarantee you, his blood will be flowing. He'll be pumping the ball as fast as he's ever thrown it, and he'll be right back to the Alexis Diaz that we know and love.
Do you like the way the bullpen shapes up right now?
I do, and I think it's going to be even better as we move forward, because if in fact we're talking about moving Nick Martinez back into that bullpen as the season progresses, and that's not to say that he's going to. He may very well slot into being a starting pitcher, because that's what he wants to do. And there's an added advantage to that from a mental standpoint for him. But if, in fact, you had Nick Martinez in that bullpen, it only lengthens it that much further for all of the starters.
Talking Reds baseball, opening day is tomorrow. We'll wrap things up. We'll give you the full rundown of what to expect, not just here at the banks, over the ballpark as well. It's the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF. We're live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the banks on the Reds Radio Network. Welcome back. Wrapping things up on the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League presented by UDF. We've been live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Nation Kitchen and Bar at the banks. It's our final hot stove show of the year because, well, the season opens up tomorrow. With the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley, I'm Tommy Thrall. It's great to be with you and a lot to be excited about this season. Cowboy, when you look at this year and opening day tomorrow, what is it about this team, this group, that has you most excited for the 2024 season?
Well, I think when you look at this ball club and you look at the likes of the youngsters that you have, how cool would it be 20 years from now to say, well, I was there when De La Cruz hit 3 home runs on opening day and stole 6 bases. I mean, something like that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that carries on in this city forever. And, I mean, those are the things that you actually can look forward to because it just might happen.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's a great point because this team is going to do things throughout the course of the season you didn't even think of. And there are going to be I was there moments all summer long. It's just an incredibly exciting group. Here's what's going on tomorrow. Obviously, the Finley Market Opening Day Parade, that is at noon. Don't forget about the block party. It's the Reds Community Fund block party here at the banks. That gets going at 11 o'clock in the morning. Folks will be getting all riled up, ready for opening day, showing off their excitement 12 ounces at a time, getting ready to start the season. And then, of course, the gates open at Great American Ballpark tomorrow at 2:10. The pregame festivities begin on the field at 3:30. Here's what's going on the field before the game. Sean Casey is throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. George Foster's delivering the game ball. And Marty Brenneman, perhaps you've heard of him, he is the honorary captain tomorrow. All that's going on as part of the pregame.
Captain.
Ceremony.
I like that.
Honorary captain. We should call him the captain. The good captain, if you will. And then, of course, first pitch is at 4:10. We're on the air, the Cowboy and I, 3:40, with the Reds pregame show across the network tomorrow. Hope you can join us. We're all excited for it. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League. That does it for the hot stove season this year. Hope to see everybody out at Great American Ballpark. Otherwise, we will see you on your radio. Big thanks to Brad Metter, our producer-engineer, Dave Yarnbrewster. For the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley, I'm Tommy Thrall. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Reds Radio Network.